You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
Yeah, so so whoever I select, I ask, I'm like, all right, you know, when I grab the plastic, you come and grab the rest of the roll and just start wrapping me. And that's pretty much the extent of my instructions, right? You know, and then I say, then cut it off and leave. Oh, and I give them this little green eye mask. But he went above and beyond it. He actually wrapped my individual legs, which I've never had anybody do. I mean, it's always an adventure. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's total chaos. They're always like, well, am I going to mess up your playing? I'm like, don't even worry about it. Just let it be chaos. And he went for the individual legs, and it was really hard to get out of there. Because it's like this industrial, like industrial saran wrap. It's more for like furniture wrapping. It's this big industrial roll. It's expensive to do this show, I tell you. But yeah.
Wow. So while it's good, we're talking with Kim Priest, and wow. So, you know, we're talking about Eugene, Oregon, a show she recently played, and thankfully she had the opening band, a member of the opening band, help with individual leg wrapping for the first time in your career with the plastic. So, I mean, if there's one thing about Eugene, Oregon, I can say that if there's a higher likelihood of having your individual legs wrapped with plastic, Eugene, Oregon is a pretty good spot for it, I think. And, and so you get that experience.
I'll keep that in mind for next time.
Kim, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming
on. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Ken.
Yeah, this is Something Rather Than Nothing, and we're talking with Kim Priest. An artist. So the quick backstory is Peter Bauer, editor and producer of this podcast, great musician, music guy, opened up for Kim and her band Stunt Driver. And we got the field report, and we're talking with Kim now. And Kim, I've done a dive into your art, and I got to tell you, just like to frame everything, I love what you do. I mean, I love, you know, I'm a union guy in my background. I love with art. I love provocative art. I love people thinking or messing with kind of structures to create thinking and engagement. So I see so much of that in what you do. And I have a lot of questions about that. But first of all, tell us about Stunt Driver. This is not a regular old, you know, band or anything. Your Stunt Driver project, what are you doing when you're playing Stunt Driver?
Yeah, what is Stunt Driver? And just FYI for everyone, Stunt Driver, all caps, one word.
Yeah.
I always say that. Okay, so Stunt Driver. Whoa. All right, well, Peter, you just mentioned, you know, witnessed the first time ever me doing a solo tour of the project. I mean, yes, when I conceived this baby in like 2017, late 2017, I was like, okay, I'm tired of like doing the band thing. I'm going to start this solo thing. But you know what? It turned into this entire like immersive production. So I'm trying to make this as succinct as possible. Started writing some jams. I even went to a retreat in Florida where I really like dove into them. And then got together some songs, demos, whatnot, and ended up working with John Avila from Oingo Boingo and his business partner as producers. And then we start working together, and I hadn't even thought about like what the live version was going to look like yet, as far as like band members, right? I was just kind of in the writing phase, and they're like, hey, can we play in it? And I was like, okay. So John ends up playing bass in many of the versions. His partner, Anton, business partner, Anton, ended up playing guitar, and it happened to be the guitar that John played back in like Oingo Boingo days. So Whoa. He still plays that thing. It's like this 80s guitar. It's pretty old school. It's pretty cool. So those guys still play with me. So then got ready for this crazy immersive version. I basically had made a proposal to this cool warehouse performance space in LA. called Highways, and they're like, yes, let's do it. But I'm like, okay, let's do it in June. And meanwhile, it's like, when did I agree to do that? I don't know, January, this is 2018, and the songs weren't even done. So it was like, okay. And I just like agreed and just was finishing songs, having like actor rehearsals, set building, all this stuff, like all at the same time. And it was really stressful, but pulled it off. And I mean, these shows were like sold out. People were loving it. Basically it was like a living album experience. So audience members would essentially walk through the album, and each station, I called them, propose like a different human challenge, right? You know, like really encouraging people to get out of their shells and all this stuff. And it's very much, I didn't even mention this. See, I've been working on this too long. Sometimes I'm bad at explaining it. It's kind of like the age old battle of light and dark. So it's very sort of like Darth Vader meets the resistance. Like, where does the evil come from? All this, because there's this evil lady called the Influencer. She's the green lady. And obviously this came out of me, you know, making fun of social media originally. But she has this product called Night Cream that disguises your flaws, your inner demons. But she's kind of like a hoax. But I, you know, keep in mind, I wrote all this before the pandemic, but it oddly relates in certain ways. I'm not saying COVID is a hoax. I know that's what that's associated with, by the way.
Thanks for the disclaimer. It's been strange times for as long as I can remember. Any disclaimer that you think is useful for, throw it out there.
The word hoax might be triggering for some. But anyways, the Influencer, yeah, she's fake. And she only lives in the virtual world. So then like in the live shows, and this kind of, actually, I used to never do her live. But then during lockdown, I started doing all these live streams. And I was like, oh my God, what if I become the Influencer, transforms into the driver? And the driver, for everybody knows, is really like the side of like the resistance. Good, you know, fighting, standing up for people's rights, you know, justice for all, right? And we're, you know, white clad in these stunt suits with gold and black makeup and gold helmets, black gloves, the whole deal. And like these custom made suits, made very sort of like Evel Knievel meets Susie Quattro style suits. But yeah, so it's this battle between them. And now it is morphed in recent versions post-pandemic. Well, let me back up. So after those crazy immersive versions where I like went in the hole and, you know, made sure everybody got paid except for myself, you know, I was like, okay, how do I keep up this project without any like significant backing or grants or anything? How do I keep this project up in a feasible way that, you know, obviously keeps it alive and fun, right? So then it just kind of turned into concert versions, but immersive concert versions. So, you know, that started getting jamming, right? 2019, you know, finally like finished the record back then, because we never finalized the mixes. We just got them ready for those original immersive shows. Yeah. So, but also obviously money was a thing too. You know, so finally like finished mixing them, mastering them, all that stuff. And then finally, record's ready to come out. And lockdown happens,
yeah.
Right? You know, and obviously, like, prior to that, we'd been playing out and stuff, and it was going really well, doing, like, video release shows and, you know, whatever, just playing out, you know. But, you know, there's sponges that I hand out to the audience to have them sponge off their residual crap. Can I cuss on this? Am I allowed to cuss
on
this?
Yes, of course you can. I expected you would, so.
Okay, good. I do have a trucker mouth.
Me too. So
okay, good. But I also teach acting to kids, so I often have to like, you know, put on the, you know, what word would I use instead voice. You know, but of course, you know, if I ever slip, they're like, oh my gosh, Miss Kim, you know, and they find it amusing. But anyhow, where was I? So yeah, we started doing all the concert versions. Oh yeah, Yellow Sponges. There's a tunnel that's become a real big hit that people love climbing through. It as this human tunnel. I mean, it was originally like a dog tunnel, but for a very large dog, maybe a Great Dane, because people can get through it. Like actually the other night, this was 2 weeks ago, a really person that was larger than the tunnel got in, and I was afraid they were going to get stuck, but they made it. I was afraid they were going to rip my tunnel, but they actually might have ripped it a little bit.
I've seen the tunnel, and I didn't see you must be this tall or this size to go through, so I assume it's...
Yeah, I don't list any size specifications. I don't, you know, right. All inclusive, you know?
Make the decision for yourself. Do you think
exactly.
you can... Do you think you can get to the end of this?
Right. Or if not, but you know, it's all about transformation. So, you know, maybe if you don't, sometimes you got to turn back. But yeah, so there's a tunnel. There's obviously the plastic wrapping, which we mentioned. And obviously I could go into detail what all these things mean too. And what else is there? Something else. I feel like there's some other thing I use.
Well, let me ask let me ask this, Kim, and I think one of the areas you go in that I see that I love, that I think is thought provoking, fun, is I've been fascinated for the longest time with the imaginary space between you, performer, and the audience, and in general, expectations that are around this, right? So I think if I go to a show and I buy a ticket, I am going to listen to music and I'm going to have my space and I'm going to kind of navigate it the way that I will. With your show or shows that kind of break down the distance between audience, participator, and you as performer, what is that like for you to go into that space and to tinker with that space? Because a lot of folks don't do it, and they say they need and they have to have and they expect on both sides that there's that boundary. When you mess with it, what happens?
Oh, I mess with it big time. That's my jam.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I really, especially since I start now as the influencer, I start her pre-show. I oftentimes walk around the crowd before, you know? And depending on the setup of the concert, I mean, we might be playing some like dive bar, right? Where there's no reveal. You know what I mean? I'm like sound checking. And everybody's right there and I'm the influencer, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes during that sound check moment, so there's this, I tie on this half body mannequin onto me. I strap this on and it looks like, you know, it's like mannequin boobs and everything. But there's no way, like, especially in the solo versions, I gotta like check my bass, right? I gotta like tune my bass. I cannot put the bass on with that thing on, right? So for some of the sound checky things, I don't have it on, but I have everything else on, right? So I have this like lab coat over my driver outfit, you know, and I got the whole influencer get up green wig, this whole mask thing on. Sometimes I talk to the audience during that part as the influencer, right? Sometimes I just ignore them, right? And then I say, you know, in my like fake British accent, I say, I'll be back. Actually, that's horrible. That was kind of Australian. But let's see. Hello, everybody. I'm the influencer.
Podcast,
yeah, she's sort of like film noir.
The podcast is popular in both England and Australia, so it might bridge that gap.
It might piss some people off. But anyways, yeah, so sometimes I'm sort of in character there, sometimes I'm not. But to really answer your question about that, I love that imaginary space, or shall we call it the fourth wall? Well,
yeah.
I make that fourth wall I really want it to be transparent, I guess, right? I want it to connect. So, which I love that you called it this imaginary space. I think I just sort of like unabashedly or forcefully am the influencer. And then what she turns into, that there's just like, I don't back down. And I think it scares a lot of people. I think it also, through that fear, by the end of the show, it's like broken down some walls for them. Like, I've seen it happen and it's really rewarding. I think that it's maybe like one of the coolest things, I guess, about to know that I could maybe help somebody to get out of their shell by me just being like a total clown.
Up and over something. I mean, I've seen, you know, I've watched the videos, and I think it's really fascinating because it's a challenge and there's all sorts of outcomes as far as, you know, provocation. I mean, it's just the way that it is, something is
totally
occurring. And but just seeing, you know, just prompts to engage or talk to like somebody that you don't know who's next to you, and seeing like active conversation that's been set up for that. And it's not a world changer. That's not necessarily the point, I'd imagine, but it's something that's provoked and generated in the experience. And I find that whether folks have asked for it or not, they there's a way to have them jump over that hurdle and be like, this person's cool. I didn't know they lived across town. They seem pretty nice, right? Unless they start talking to you about a hoax, and then, you know, maybe.
Oh gosh. Listen, no hashtag hoaxes, please.
All right. Please. And we're speaking with Kim and Kim Priest. Thank you so much for coming on. I gotta mention a few of your influences. I love lists. I mean, I know it's an easy thing to grab at, but I was looking at your bio and seeing some influences and such over your work. Wizard of Oz. I almost stopped there because Wizard of Oz, I think, when you're into it, means everything, and then there's other things. But Dragon Disguise, Clown, Alter Ego, love that. Superheroes, thinking about transformation. 80s and 90s music videos, yes, yes, as far as an aesthetic. So I see these Grace Jones. I see these various pieces. And what you do. And what I wanted to ask you, Kim, is one of the big questions. You're obviously an artist, a fantastic artist, very noticeable and conspicuous. But what's art? What are you trying to do? what's art?
I knew this question was coming. What is art? You know, I actually journaled on your questions the other day.
Oh, that's, yeah, love it.
I have them here in my yellow journal. I think art is a way of processing the world, whether you are, you know, the artist yourself, or kind of like you said, you know, when you're going to a show, you're ready to see something, experience something, maybe feel something, right?
But
I think art can offer perspective. I think it can offer escape, joy, entertainment, freedom. And I mean, yeah, in a way of, you know, exploring issues, questions in the world. And I think for me, and I'm sure many artists agree with this, when you are making it or presenting it, sharing it, it's kind of one of the most present times in your life. Yeah. Like when I'm on stage, nothing else exists. I mean, yes, I'm taking in everything else that's going on, you know, but in the room. But I mean, in that moment, it's like, you know, that 30 minutes or whatever it is.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I found that in asking the question, exploring art on the podcast. The big thing that pops up and ask about what is art is like immediately moves to like, what is it doing for us? How is it helping us? Why do we need it? And that moment that you mentioned right there that I wanted to just capture about of how you feel and who you are within the performance of art, I have found to be the most captivating magic around talking about art when you're immersed in the experience. It could be the viewer and the participant or what have you, but as an artist performing that, it is the thing. It is what is happening. It is who you are. And I know I've had that experience sometime, and it feels like a different way of experiencing time. And like afterwards, you're like, whoa, wow, that was a heck of an experience. Like, wow. Mm-hmm. And kind of move back out of it. Do you find for yourself, as far as taking on, say, alter ego or personality, that just helps you as a person to kind of explore artistically these different pieces of yourself?
Wait, sorry, so repeat the question. Does it help me? What do you mean exactly?
With taking up different aspects of how you perform, mm-hmm. As an artist, as different pieces and extensions of you in developing, just as far as the meaning of that for you, as far as you being able to express yourself fully.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, the influencer is obviously, sure. I mean, sure, she's a part of me, you know? Like, the part of me that's, like, judgy. The part of me that feels like there's things wrong. Sure, you know? And not to mention, I just love doing that accent. But, and then the driver, she's just fun. She's just ridiculous, you know, the influencer. And then the driver is, I'm much more me. As the driver, you know, maybe a little exaggerated, but I'm much more me. And, you know, I used to do stand-up comedy, and it's something that I feel like I'd love to go back to, but just like any art form, that's a thing, right? That's a particular way of writing. That's a particular way. You know, and it's another thing, you know, like my partner's always laughing, like, what next? Oh, you're going to be this next, you know, but I kind of get to exercise, you know, some little stand-up-y stuff as the driver, you know, and yes, I have my shtick for the show, you know, for sets. Yeah. There's my shtick for sure. You know, which changes.
Tell me about stand-up. I love stand-up comedy. I believe it's the biggest daredevil act. I mean, I'm in awe of jumping in on stage, and there you have it. Can you give us a little peek into that? I haven't been able to talk to many folks to do that, but as far as performance, what is that experience like?
You know, Ken, I haven't done it in a really long time.
That's fine.
I will say, of all, like you're saying, like of all the performance mediums, right? You know, just talking performance here. I mean, it is truly the most vulnerable and raw, right? I think it's more about presence than it is about your actual punchlines, you know, or your material. You know, you can think of like some of the greats, like Lenny Bruce, drawing a blank here.
Richard Pryor is huge for me.
Yeah, and just like, but their presence alone, you know, was hilarious.
Yeah.
I was really, really into it for this is like after college. And I was really into it, and I was really going to these open mics. I'm from Austin, Texas originally. And I was back in Austin for a summer doing Shakespeare in the Park, and I was like, I'm going to start doing stand-up. I mean, I was, you know, my early 20s, and it was actually going really well. You know, I auditioned for this like HBO special. I didn't get on it, but I remember told this story about shitting in my pants, and then they cut me off.
Come on.
They cut you off. I was number 99.
They cut you off for that? Come on.
I know. Canceled. Canceled in 19.
Jeez. What is this? 1940s here? I mean, it's just a shitting in your pants joke.
Late 90s. But and then, you know, it was, I don't know, I was having a blast. I was like really kind of getting involved in the scene and was really inspired in that way. You know, I would like have a cocktail napkin, and these ideas would be coming to me while I'd be like sitting at a show, you know, not that I wasn't paying attention to the former, but it was like spawning ideas, and I'd be like, ooh, write down that little trinket, you know?
Yeah.
And then I moved to San Francisco, and I don't know, just, you know, whatever. I started doing other performance things, and I kind of did it for a little bit, and then it just kind of, you know, I think it's in my work. I think it shows up in my work. But not as this is pure stand-up, you know? And I don't know. Maybe one day I'll get back to it. But,
yeah.
You know,
what about
too many things on my list.
I got a question, just a final question about that is, what about the, you know, the boundary? Let's say it's the imaginary boundary. You know, you You know, did I mean I when I was mentioning my comments about you as a performer, I tend to think about that in you know, with comedy as well, such as the relation with the audience, stepping into them, busting their balls, like picking out one person, busting their, you know, breaking that piece down. And of course, recently, culturally, with the Chris Rock, you know, Will Smith, we saw that the boundary between the audience and the performers busted wide open. But were you, and the comedy bit, on that particular point, were you thinking about those things? Were you kind of fucking with those things on when you're doing
stand-up? Well, I wasn't punching people in the face or anything. But but as far as, I mean, that's kind of the way I go about the world. I love people that fuck with me, and I love fucking with people, like, in good fun. I mean, one of my main goals in life is to just spread joy. So if that means I'm, like, making you laugh or being ridiculous, you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's going to keep me maybe alive for a while.
Well, I deeply appreciate you doing that. It reminded me of I had a painter on the show, one of my favorite painters. Her name's Vanessa Stockard, and she's called herself a happiness peddler, and it was just like a really cool thing. It was just like, you know, there's some you know, darker themes and stuff like that to work through in the art and stuff. But, like, in general, the jokes and the paintings themselves are being able to mess with different popular cultural pieces. It was just trying to tweak things and become a happiness peddler. So, hey, peddling happiness, mixing things up. I love it. So, Kim, as a little peek inside, you're doing a stunt driver. Can you tell us, what you're up to, and just in general, like, where stunt driver shows up, things like that, focusing on your performance?
Yeah. So, well, as you know, I just did that big test of me going, like, on a solo tour, and it was amazing. I mean, the hardest thing was not getting enough sleep, driving 5 hours, doing a show, and then going to sleep for a little bit, driving 5 hours, doing a show, you know, not being able to, like, take a nap while someone else is driving, you know?
Yeah.
But would I do it again? Absolutely. So that just happened, and that was great. And so now, what that did for me was to go, oh yeah, I can do this solo, and it's still just as fun. I mean, sure, it's great to have my bandmates, don't get me wrong, absolutely. But so that being said, this Sunday, just the way it's working out with availability and just life, this Sunday doing a little show in Long Beach, and actually the only person that could do it is my guitar player, so it's just the two of us. So I'm playing. So what's really fun too is I do play bass, but I, in the full band versions, I don't play bass, but I started playing bass in the solo versions, and it's really fun for me. So, you know, because I really love bass, and I'm starting a side project, but that's a whole other story. But so where's Stunt Driver going next? Next big full band show is at the Viper Room before it gets turned into condos on June 24th in LA.
That's turning into condos. Give us the LA scoop. What's the LA scoop there?
I mean,
That's it. Viper Room's now condos. Will be condos.
Soon. I don't know when the exact date is, but, you know, everybody's like scrambling to get in there. So I was like, screw it, let's do it. So we're doing that, and that'll be like another like full band production, you know. So John, Anton, and I got Sean Burgess on drums. He's fantastic, and he's been doing a ton of shows with me. Like, we've done just him and I as a duo. In fact, we did a show a couple weeks ago. It was right after I got back from the solo stuff. Just him and I at this dive bar in the Valley, and there was a fight that broke out. It was nuts. This is when the guy couldn't fit through the tunnel, or he did, you know, had some challenges. And but sometimes there's these places where I'm like, do I bring out the tunnel? Because there's like, it seems like there's no room. Like, this was a dive bar where there were like tables everywhere. And I'm like, fuck it. And so when it came that moment, I moved some tables and pulled the tunnel out. It was hilarious. So the tunnel, I mean, I'm telling you, like, kind of going back to that space that you're talking about, the imaginary space, even places I've played, where this was like on tour, I noticed this, you know, where there's like the cool guy factor, you know, like everybody's like, you know, not moving and their arms are crossed, wearing all black, right?
Yeah.
they even start to soften up. So if I could like get to those people, it's kind of really amazing. It's like, it's okay. We can all have fun. We can smile. It's cool. But yeah, so stoked. Oh, and the dancers will be back for the June 24 show at the Viper Room. So I have two dancers, but we were rehearsing as two dancers. Then one got COVID when we were getting ready for our album release in April. So we've just had one dancer so far. So both dancers are back. Fingers crossed it stays that way with our climate. And yeah, maybe actors too. We'll investigate, because sometimes I have actors too that are the influenzas and they work for the influencer. So they're like these minions of her that spread the word. She's like a cult leader, you know, of Night Cream. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then, then working on some other, like, obviously, I mean, just kind of like focusing on building in LA, but also like regionally, right? There's the desert, there's Inland Empire, all that stuff. And then I'm going to be in Austin this summer. So I'm working on an Austin gig, which obviously I would do solo. And then I'm going to be in New York a bit. So I'm working on some New York gigs, you know, and you know, it's tricky. It's tricky. Like, I wish I could be like, hey, I'm flying the band out. But you know, at the end of the day, it's not like this is like, it's not one of those bands where we all came up with it together and we all split everything. It's not that. I would like to have a project like that again, but this one's just not like that. It's kind of like, all right, who can do what, you know, obviously, unfortunately, you know, it comes down to money lots of times. You know, if somebody in New York's like, hey, I'll fly you guys out, here's a guarantee, hell yeah, it's full band. But if it's just a normal door deal, lots of times it's just,
hey, let's see, hear that person out there out east. I'm originally from Rhode Island. I know some East Coast listeners listen. Shout out to, I know a bunch of folks down in Austin, Texas.
Love
Austin. I am a East Coast guy. I adore LA. You know, I grew up on the East Coast. LA for me growing up in the 80s was like a weird Wizard of Oz, right? It was like, yeah. It was just, I was a working class kid. It was such a big idea, a big thing. And I finally went to LA a few years ago, living out in the West Coast. And I don't know, I've never been ashamed at being caught up in all of it there, good and bad and everything. I love LA, which would have gotten me kicked out of Boston in places where, you know, yeah. I was at times, but no, I just love it. And of course we're reaching Kim, from the wonderful city of, Los Angeles. And, what I wanted to ask you, Kim, and thanks for this interview. I mean, the list of stuff that you do and you're into, it's all in my wheelhouse. So it's just like, for me, it's just like, aww, thanks for being here, because all this shit's really cool. But I wanted to ask, it's a bit of an odd question, because I think I know the answer, but I wanted to ask you it. And I ask artists, why is it that you create or choose to create? Because you don't have to, but what is that? I mean, is it just an overriding force? Is it a way, like, I need this to keep my head healthy? But why do you create?
I mean, I'm look at my journal entries. I journaled on your questions.
That is completely permissible, because otherwise, why did you put in the good journaling work?
Here's what I wrote. I wrote, to process, to feel, to flow, to be present, to question, to investigate, to play, to entertain, to inspire, to collaborate, to be, I can't read that, to be at ease, maybe? I don't know what that says. But yeah.
You couldn't read the to be at ease. You might not have been at ease when you were doing it. Fantastic list. And I do want to stop, and I know of all the therapy that I get, all the people I talk to about healing, I am glad that you're referencing that you journaled around these questions. I know so many people say, hey, just do this. If you got weird ass thoughts in your head, like, put them on the paper and put the paper away. So folks, good practice as far as I know. So yeah.
I mean, I've been doing morning pages. I don't know, the artist way, Julia Cameron, the morning pages. I've been doing it for like 20 years, where you just get up and literally just let the pen flow. You know, that's more like subconscious style writing. But, you know, but then I have prompts too, you know, so yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Prompts.
Look at this. It isn't just all wildness and just everything. It's about being
healthy.
Yeah.
I listened to a few of the podcasts, like specifically the ones you told me to listen to. And I can't remember who it was. Oh, the one that makes stuff in nature. I can't remember. Grew up in an artist family. It's all that she does. It's one of your recent ones. But I was just like, wow, gosh, she's creating all the time. And sometimes, and yes, I do put pressure on myself to create, right? But then I was like, I've just been thinking a lot lately, well, why is there this pressure to do it? Like, like, how do I have like this, like, instead of being like, I gotta focus and making it like this closed heart action, like super focused tunnel vision, what is it like to have like open heart, even with pressure, right? If that makes sense. Because lots of times, I mean, unfortunately, unless you got a team working for you, you don't just get to make art all the time. There is a business side to it. And there's a lot of freaking admin that's really annoying, you know? So I find myself oftentimes getting really obsessed with like booking, you know, reaching out, you know, or like this week I had to catch up on like editing some live videos, you know, and I try to make that creative, but at the end of the day, it still feels like an admin task, or updating this profile or make sure, you know, and I really try talking about boundaries. I really try to create or compartmentalize, you know, like, okay, you know, Mondays and Wednesdays are this, you know, blah, 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 blah. Just otherwise I can get too scattered about it, or it's like I'm forcing it or whatever. Just really allocating time for different things, you know, and for different projects too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, it was funny. I did send you certain podcasts. I'll drop who the guest is in the notes. But I would also say is, you know, being very interested in looking at the things you do. Who knows what I sent you as far as past guests?
Like, I took a screenshot of it. I could probably tell
I'm saying part of my point is I think it would be easy to suggest things to you, but tough to remember the various things that I suggested.
Right. No, it was cool.
And of course, thanks for listening. We got Kim Priest here from Stunt Driver, and I don't know if she's have to consult her journal here, but I do have kind of a big one is we've brought Kim Priest here to answer the question, why is there something rather than nothing?
I knew it was coming. Let me consult my journal. Then we don't know what's next. We make art out of nothing, right? But there's always something to... Hold on, let me look at what I wrote. Yeah, we make art out of nothing because there's always something, right? And then sometimes we don't even know, you know, what's next. But there's always something. Whether it's we've received a prompt from an individual, or life, or it may be something that inspired us or triggered us or whatever it may be, there is always something to draw from, you know. Yeah. And I teach acting, so I'm so even when, you know, students are like, well, I don't relate, you know, but it's like, no, there's always something. There is always something, even if something seems so far away from you. There is always something. It could just be fear. It could be, you know, you've experienced joy before and this person is having a totally joyful moment, or vengeance, or whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah.
We're always making stuff out of nothing.
I love that. I wasn't sure in the journal whether you know, the question is so ridiculous and it's profound or ridiculous. It matters what mood you're in, but I think, you know, I think I could imagine you might've done like a funny face and cross out, or, you know, I love it. Thank you for Thank you for playing on that. I think what I want to do on the podcast sometime is have the pauses and the giggles when I ask such a wild question. It's always fun, and I appreciate you philosophizing. I mean, I you know, for me, with philosophy too, a lot of it's active. So when I see you, you know, messing with the boundaries that have been set up socially, for me, that's philosophy. Because a lot of philosophers, where you can start to think is where there's a crack or where there's a breakdown or where there's something that messes things up. And, I don't know. I think you prompt thinking. I think questions prompt thinking. And, I love everything you do, Kim. It's so,
aw, Ken, thanks.
Yeah, it's groovy, and love the music, thanks. And I love the engagement and the serendipity of editor and producer Peter Bauer finding Stunt Driver and Kim Priest in Eugene. This is how it all happens. Kim, I know you mentioned, definitely. Kim, I know you mentioned some of the spots you'll be arriving at under Stunt Driver. Can you tell the audience, you know, where to find your stuff, music, visuals, website, all that type of thing?
Yeah. Well, I do website. Will kind of lead you to everything for Stunt Driver, that is. Yeah. So the website is just stuntdrivermusic.com. Stunt, STUNTDRIVER, music.com. And I just, like I said, I just edited a ton of live videos. Unfortunately, none of them are from the solo rendition, but, okay. But there's maybe in like Instagram stories, they're probably in the highlights for live. There's some in there, but on YouTube, you know, it's on YouTube, but all that is clickable on the website. But, as far as like my handle on all the forms of social media, it's Stunt Driver Music, because unfortunately Stunt Driver was taken. So Stunt Driver Music, you know, on Twitter, it's like Stunt Driver Muse, but whatever. I don't really worry too much about Twitter. And obviously, you know, Spotify, it's, you know, the thing. It's just Stunt Driver on there. But, and I'm, you know, I'm trying to work, and then, you know, I've been applying for grants and stuff for other projects, and they're like, where's the KimPriest.com website? I'm just like, ah, that's, you know, I've owned KimPriest.com forever, but as far as like making an actual website just for that, 'cause then that's another, you know, that's another $180 bucks a year.
Yeah.
You know,
it's another thing.
And because I keep getting that question a lot, like, well, who's the artist behind Stunt Driver? Like, who is, you know? And so eventually I'll make that freaking website. But I do, you know, like I used to go by Hawk, Tomahawk. So Hawk is Kim Priest is the Instagram for that, where I post kind of like the other stuff for now. Yeah. But it's all about adventure. It's all about adventure. That's like, I guess that's, I didn't throw that in when you asked me about art, but it's adventure. Life is adventure. That's
Thank
like my
you.
Trigger word. Adventure. And so I try to make art an adventure. I try to make shows an adventure. I look at my bandmates before we go on stage and I'm just like, hey, let's have an adventure. Who knows what's gonna happen, you know? And it's true. With every show is totally different, and it's been really fun, and hopefully I can just offer people an experience, you know, something, feel something, maybe we can all empathize about something, you know, and laugh.
Yeah, it's been a big part of the show. I think about in terms of organizing or living life, you know, authentically, of, you know, connecting with folks, having an experience that is transformative or fun or silly or a stunt or whatever. I love that, because I feel that, you know, for me, yes, it appeals to my particular makeup and who I am, but I'm convinced that everybody needs some of that, and they kind of move away from that. So thanks for bringing it. Thanks for bringing that stuff to the table. Thank you for what you do. Hanging out. It's really been a great pleasure, Kim. And I'm going to be looking actively for what you do and where you pop up. And hopefully, you know, I when you're around, I can catch a show. I have a very large Gumby outfit. I don't know if that's a license thing where that would fit into what's going on, but I'm thinking green with the green mask and stuff like that.
Listen, you're wrapping me in plastic if you're at a live show, Ken.
That's
the Gumby outfit.
Wow, this setup. All right, so we've done some collaboration work in planning already. So the Tasky type of stuff that you were talking about, we took care of it when you're doing the Tasky podcast interview, which was fun, hopefully. So
that was awesome. It was awesome. No, we'll do a run. We'll do another run up the coast, you know, maybe in a few months, fall, early fall. So
yeah,
you're on my list. You're on my Portland and my Eugene list.
Yeah, I get with Portland and Eugene. Thanks again, Kim. Thanks for hanging out. I hope you have a great day, evening, etc. And I hope we get a chance to chat really soon. Keep doing what you do, and everybody, check out Stunt Driver Live. Check out the podcast. Check out the site. Check out Kim, and I'm sure you will enjoy and be bettered by the experience. So, thanks, Kim.
Thank you so much, Ken. Love the show. Be in touch.
Thank you.
Got a funeral for fantasy. I throw a funeral.
This is Something Rather Than Nothing.